dare to dream, dream, dream. Welcome to the Dare to Dream radio show. I'm your host, Deborah Dashinger. Join me every week as I interview inspiring guests from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, all parts of the world, who had a dream and found a way to make that dream come true. Listen to this worldwide award-winning radio show every week and learn to dare to dream and make your dreams come true. Sit back and enjoy, and welcome.
You can be anything, a rock star, beauty queen, fly with a broken wing, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. You can have everything, playing on your 12 string, going for the brass ring, baby, if you dare to dream, dare to dream, dare to dream. Let your fears fade away and dare to dream.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm your host. This is Debbie Dashinger, and this show was created to inspire you to take steps towards your dreams and turn all of your goals and targets into your reality. I'm very excited. Later on, I'm going to have Dan Millman on, who is going to talk about the four purposes of life. And as I was saying to Dan before the show started, I really think that this is a timely subject. We're living in really interesting times. And in interesting times, many of us are changing, re-examining, unknowing. Some of us are very knowing and frustrated. Some of us are knowing and creating. There's an amazing amalgam that's out there right now, but I'm going to offer you some wisdom from somebody who just wrote a book on this, and he's also the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and my goodness, 17 books in total. So he will be on a little later, and I'm going to talk about, what does it take to be a creative entrepreneur? Most people today are entrepreneurs. Many of those we know in our tribes are out there doing their own thing. Being a creative entrepreneur really means to create your business so that it's pleasurable and wonderful, and also obviously giving your gifts and proclivities out there, and it's creating a service for others. When it meets those, it's usually quite successful. But it does take creativity to do what we do. I'm fascinated by even what I do, and frankly, the unknowingness of how it reveals itself to me. I really feel like the universe has had a tremendous hand in my careers. It's clear I came here to be in some form of entertainment and in the spotlight. It's clear that I came to teach and inspire and disseminate. That's great. Masses, lots of people, very good for me. And I thought the whole beginning of my life was about acting and singing, and I did that for many, many, many years in many forms and mediums. However, as I said, the universe clearly had other divine paths for me. I trusted, I said yes to many interesting, sometimes illogical paths that opened up to me. Nonetheless, here I am, and today where I've ended up is 9+ years in radio broadcasts, syndicated on 66 stations. I've got international best-selling books. I run the bestseller book launch program, and I take authors to bestseller. I also speak on stages all around the world at large events, and I teach people how to create radio interview mastery to great results. And I meet amazing people, and I feel very blessed. And I also have this strong sense I ain't done yet. I'm not cooked. I feel like the universe has even more and even more in store. So what about you? I want to talk about you and what does it take today to be a creative entrepreneur. It's really highly valuable to be a creative entrepreneur and not just a dollars and cents business thinker, although we all need that too. But basically, we're building something from the ground up, new or better than it's been done before. And that takes a lot of skills, attitudes, and creative types possess this. And basically what we're doing is taking original approaches to problem solving, having a willingness to make mistakes, and boy do we when we're entrepreneurs, and when we make mistakes, to choose to learn from them and not be tied to conventional thinking. Conventional, right? That's what everybody's doing. We're here to do something different and often turn it into motivation. So creative professionals are excited by our process and not just this month's numbers. We may have huge egos. We may have tons of nerve. That's an asset. It's also a challenge. But we do know that we're aligned to do things in a different way. We really have to be a high-functioning creative thinker to succeed in a creative industry. So were you born to make up things that haven't been created yet? I wonder if we're not all very much alike, that maybe we felt anxious when we were in high school. Maybe we felt like a misfit. Maybe we didn't feel like down the road we had the right degree or pedigree. Maybe we felt unsettled in our lives, or we do right now, and then maybe somebody wise might say, hey, you have the heart of an entrepreneur. You have the license to come up with wild ideas, to try them, to put them out in the world, and to see the response. And if it's negative, uh-oh, we just move on to the next thing. Boy, I did that for years trying to be a dream coach. Do you know how many people have dreams and get excited about them? Everybody. Do you know how many people are actually willing to create their dreams? Aha. I'd love to see the statistic on that. I can tell you from my interesting point of view, they're quite low. It's a handful of people who are really going to go out there and do something. So I double dare you to create your dreams, to go from pursuing money and instead to pursuing meaning, to follow your passion. Your passion, the most important gift you can give to yourself every day. Pablo Picasso said, learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist. We're all artists, really. Doesn't mean we're all Picassos with paintbrushes, but we all have the capacity to create something unique, whether it's music, paintings, books, buildings, sculptures, logos, iPhones, businesses. So there is a creative spark that's a cornerstone to entrepreneurship coupled with drive, talent, and balls of steel. We don't all have to agree. We just don't. And it just doesn't have to be about corporation or educational institution. But entrepreneurship really is today a cornerstone for our culture. So it basically means you're the sole proprietor of a business, or you're a business owner assuming risk and nothing more. It means something that's never been imagined before, born from a passion that wouldn't be stopped. And it's in our DNA to figure out how to solve those problems. And thank God for that, because it's how we're going to survive as a species. So of course it's hard being an entrepreneur for some of us, and sometimes failure is expected. But man, oh man, it's a hell of a lot more fun of a ride than simply just owning and running any old business. So when it works, the rewards are magnificent. I hope this inspires you to look for your next blank canvas and just start throwing paint, baby. And along the way, you're going to create some new rules of the game. You're learning them. You can break them. You can make something wholly new. Remember what Pablo Picasso said, learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist. What will it take for you to succeed as a creative entrepreneur? Well, today I'm interviewing Dan Millman, who is the author of numerous books read by millions of people in 29 languages. He teaches worldwide, speaking to men and women from all walks of life, including leaders in the fields of health, psychology, education, business, politics, sports, entertainment, and the arts. Dan lives in Northern California, and his website is www.peacefulwarrior.com. And his latest book we're going to be talking about today is called The Four Purposes of Life, Finding Meaning and Direction in a Changing World. And I think that's Dan typing right now, changing our world as we speak. Hey, Dan, it's great to have you on Dare to Dream. Welcome back.
Hi, Debbie. And I was actually writing down that great Picasso quote.
Ah, so beautiful.
I'm happy to be with you here. In fact, in terms of daring to dream, it brought up another topic. I wrote a book with my daughter, Sierra, a brilliant writer, and it's called The Creative Compass. And you were talking about the creative process with mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, and it applies to writers, any artist, musicians. And there are five, phases to that creative process. The first, as you cover so well, is the dream phase. You have to come up with an idea, a concept, a motivating idea. And then comes the draft phase, where you bring those dreams into reality, do the actual work, like for as a writer, doing the typing to bring it into reality. But often, our idea would seem like a castle. When we see it on paper or into the world, it looks more like a garden shed. And so our job is to go to the next level after the draft is development, where we do the renovations necessary to turn that shed back into something closer to a castle before we get to the refined stage and finding the share stage, which is putting it out there in the world. So I think that creative process applies to so many things and also applies to entrepreneurial ideas.
Thank you so much for adding that. Awesome. You were on the show several years ago. You were fabulous then. I'm so excited to have you again.
Glad to be back with you. I think we'll have a good time. Under the Dare to Dream theme, it's more like that Arabic saying, trust in God, but tie your camel. So we're going to talk about tying the camel as well.
Okay, I love that.
By the way, under the Dare to Dream category, I heard that Paula Poundstone also had very funny remark. She said, I just got a job at Burger King. I had a dream and I made it happen. So I think that's great. Paula Poundstone. And I think that's a comedian. And I think it was like, I just got a job at Burger King. I had a dream and I made it happen.
Oh, that's so freaking hysterical.
Maybe the secret of happiness is lower expectations.
You know, a million years ago, you and I had similar friends. I was quite young at the time, and I'm not even going to remember this man's name. He's passed away since. He was a real eccentric character who used to do search and rescue and channeling, and he hung out with...
Oh, Michael Bookbinder.
Yes!
Yeah, he was one of my mentors, yes. Had a huge influence on my life at the time. But Michael was brilliant in many ways. Yes. He was very brilliant. And yes, definitely. My last book will be a memoir, which I'm going to write probably in the next few years.
Oh, my God.
And he will be one of the four mentors I write about and acknowledge.
I hung out with him for several years before he passed.
Up in Alaska?
No, he would come to L.A. and be in Newport Beach and other places. And he would say to me, Debbie, I want you to come to my hotel room. I'm giving you a reading. I don't even want you to pay. I need to tell you some stuff.
And so that was Michael.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Debbie.
And I'd like to ask you, as somebody who has existed very much as a creative entrepreneur in your life, what would you say are the things that people inherently do, like you see these same habits over and over, that if you could tell people, please stop doing this, because you're sabotaging your dreams and they're getting in the way. What tips would you tell us to stop doing?
Well, personally, my approach to living has always been what you should do. In other words, don't worry about stopping something. Start something new. But I will say this, that in that creative process I just mentioned, dream, draft, develop, refine, and share, most people don't fully understand the process necessary. They go from drafting to refining. If they're a writer, they write one or two drafts and then polish the prose and say, okay, now I'm ready. But usually it's not. And people have blind spots. So getting feedback would be one very practical thing. Stay in the real world. Sometimes people don't want to hear feedback because they have their own doubts and it might discourage them. But if you're ready to really do something in the world, you should have people try to discourage you. And if they can't, maybe you'll make it. But if you're so fragile that just a word of criticism or somebody's less enthusiastic is going to discourage you, then maybe it's not going to follow through. So that dedication to determination, we've all heard that. It's persistence more than anything. That was true in my case. I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur, but looking back, yes, I am. But I think it's the willingness to do the work. You know, I'm writing a new book now. It'll be probably ready for my agent to see in a month or two. It's called The Hidden School. It's the third and final book in the Peaceful Warrior trilogy. My first reader always is my wife, and she told me two things. She said, one, I think you've got a good book in there somewhere, and two, it's going to take a lot of work. And this is when I thought I had a really pretty good book. But that's actually better news than what she said in the past, which is, my advice to you is bury it in the backyard. So actually, that was pretty good advice, actually. So the point is, you've got to be willing to deal with that kind of feedback and get to work. That's what it takes.
Oh, boy, resilience is everything. I mean, we're all going to hit disappointments, whether it's from our wife, partner, or somewhere outside, or even our own sabotaging thoughts. We are going to hit those roadblocks, and it is about what we do with it when we receive it. That is the truth. So thank God you did not bury that book in the backyard, or if you buried it, you rewrote it, because we were able to receive the brilliance that you put out then.
Yes, well, it's good to know what to do and what to set aside as well. Those are both important. You know, Customato, a famous boxing coach, once said that heroes and cowards feel exactly the same fear. They just respond differently.
Heroes and cowards feel the same fear. Wow.
They just respond, but they respond differently. That's the key.
I really appreciate that. I recently felt divinely compelled to start speaking on stage, and it was the last thing I wanted to do. I'm incredibly comfortable behind the mic, whether I'm being interviewed or interviewing in the world that I created. But I really felt God was saying, Debbie, I want you on stage, and this is what you're going to do. I said yes. Gigs came to me. I hardly did anything. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified. I really didn't want to get up in front of 500 people, 200 people and speak, but I did everything. It's exactly what you're saying. I felt enormous fear and anxiety, but I did all the work. I wrote the speech. I did the PowerPoints. I rehearsed. I, you know, tooled it, and now I'm flying to Vancouver and San Diego and this place and that place, and it's happening. So it's just what you said. I am just as fearful as the coward. But I do respond differently. I will move forward anyway in spite of the fear.
Yep.
Meaning of courage, of course, is doing something in spite of fear. So I want to talk about what's going on today. This is such a great conversation. And let's parlay this into the Four Purposes of Life, your new book, because it centers around meaning and direction. And that's core at what we're talking about. So, Dan, your observation of the need to find meaning and direction in a changing world. What is that for us today?
Well, starting the bigger picture, you know, life comes at us in waves. I'm not saying anything your listeners don't already know, but we cannot control those waves or even predict them, but we can learn to surf. And that's really what it's about. Most of us are awakening the idea that it's about work on ourselves and how we respond to life, not what happens, because that's ever-changing. Change is the only constant, as they say. So that's why the subtitle of the Four Purposes of Life is Finding Meaning and Direction in a Changing World. It's especially for those people going through a transition, a new business, a new venture, graduating from school, retiring, a change in relationship, a disappointment, a dislocation. That's the time people are willing to sit down and say, what is this? What's really going on? What am I here to do, and what am I doing here? And so I wrote the Four Purposes to answer that question. I've never written a book just to have another book out. In fact, after I wrote Way of the Peaceful Warrior, I didn't write another book for 10 years. But then a new mentor came into my life. We talked about it before, that particular mentor, and I was so excited about all this flood of new information that I was stimulated to write probably a book a year. And the first couple had an influence from that mentor. So every book has to justify itself, and I wanted to put the Four Purposes in context. It actually it fits all the pieces of the puzzle together of my various books, and people go, why did you write this and that topic? And the Four Purposes seem like a very fundamental element of life. Mm-hmm. What's important in life? Questions like, does free will exist? Does a separate self exist? Which I'm going to cover in my new book. But the Four Purposes is all about what we're doing here. I would define success, what the most meaningful definition to me, is moving toward a meaningful goal. Progress toward a meaningful goal. That is what success is about. It has nothing to do with reaching a goal. You know, the astronauts were depressed, many of them, after they landed on the moon. It's like, well, how can we top that? What do we do now? Mm. But it's when we're moving toward a goal, from our point A going to point B, that gives us a purposeful life. In fact, the opening epigraph in the Four Purposes is by Robert Byrne. He said, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. We're hardwired. You watch a baby crawling across the floor to something it wants, a sparkling toy. It's going, it's moving toward that. And in fact, in The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, in the movie Peaceful Warrior with Nick Nolte, you know, based on my first book, the character Dan reaches the top of this hill with Socrates, his old mentor. And Dan has the realization, which is something we all appreciate. He said, it's the journey that makes us happy, not the destination. Well, it's a nice thing to realize. But you know what? Without a destination in mind, there is no journey. We just wander around. But if we can pick a point B, something to move toward, that gives our life a focus, like putting the light of the sun through a lens. It's very powerful. So that's why I emphasize purpose, and that's why I wrote The Four Purposes of Life.
Well, your first chapter deals with life's lessons that we encounter while on Earth, and the book also addresses career and calling and hidden callings or a destiny path. And a quote from your book is, whether you are currently in school, working full or part-time, between jobs, contemplating a change, or even approaching retirement years, the second purpose gives a fresh look at the form of service you provide. So in the second purpose, how do we determine and how do we create consistency with our interests and with our values?
Well, each section in the book builds on the one that came before. And I need to say, just to provide a context, a friend of mine came up to me and said, oh, you're writing this book on four purposes, Dan. He said, but I know the purpose of life. He said, it's learning to love. Whatever the question, love is the answer. And I said, you know, I can't argue with that. That sounds like a great purpose for life. And another friend said, but come on, Dan, it's about awakening, enlightenment, spiritual development. That's what the human being is here for. That's our purpose. And I couldn't argue with him either. And another friend had another idea, and then another friend had a fourth idea. But just as we divide the points on a compass into four directions and the days of the year into four seasons, by looking at our life through those four purposes in the book, learning life's lessons, and there's much more to that than the mundane sounding, oh, yes, we're here to learn from our life experience. Much more than that. From there, we go into what most people think of. What am I here to do, especially entrepreneurs? Mm-hmm. What is my career or calling? What's the difference between the two? And then the third purpose, yes, finding our hidden calling or our life path. And finally, the fourth purpose we can touch upon later, which may be the most important one of all. So if you'd like to focus on the second purpose for now, be happy to do that. So maybe after the break, would you like to get into that a little more deeply? What do you think?
I think so, because there's some amazing examples in this book of various people's destinies and journeys, and I found them all so different and really illuminating. So we will address that when we come back. Maybe that's on your mind today. This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Dan Millman. His website is peacefulwarrior.com. We'll be right back.
What if you were willing to nurture and care for you? What if you could open the doors to being everything you have decided is not possible to be? Have you always known you're different from the people around you? If you've been seeking something else is possible. To receive more on Access Consciousness, go to tinyurl.com/access change. Is this the change you've been looking for? tinyurl.com/access change.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here throughout 2016 in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
Be all right.
And now, are you in Brooklyn or are you in Northern California?
I'm in Brooklyn. Hey, Debbie, you know what happened? I don't know if you heard a siren. You lent some authenticity.
I love it there.
New York, yeah.
Well, I'm a native New Yorker, and believe it or not, having grown up there, I had never been to Brooklyn. And last year was my first time, and I fell madly in love with it. It's everything.
It depends where, but yeah, Brooklyn's a big place, you know, obviously. I still tend to say I'm going into the city, but obviously I'm in the city. New York City is in the five boroughs, as you know. Yeah, we quite enjoy it. We're two daughters and a grandbaby, so I love that.
You know, Dan, we were talking about people's destinies and journeys, and I love the examples you have in your book. And I especially enjoyed Kevin's story. That's the gentleman that ended up finding work that included Russia. Will you share that story?
I'd be happy to. That wasn't his real name. Kenny Kaufman was actually his real name. I met him at a Human Unity conference many, many years ago. And Kenny loved to throw frisbees. Everybody knows the flying discs, frisbees made by Wham-O Company. And I mentioned that for a reason. It's not product placement. So anyway, Kenny, just that's the one thing he loved to do. That was his calling. It didn't make him any money, but he got pretty good at it. And his parents were kind of saying, Kenny, you know, maybe you should consider getting a job, moving out of our basement. You are 35 years old. And he thought about that in the shower that night, and an idea popped into his head. A great idea. And he toweled off, got dressed, called the Wham-O Company and said, my name is, and he got to the marketing department and said, my name's Kenny, and I would like you to make me 500 frisbees and give them to me for free. And on each frisbee, it will say world peace in Russian and in English. And I'm going to take those frisbees. I'd like you to sponsor me and send me to Russia. And I will go to Red Square in Moscow. This was during the Cold War. And I will become a frisbee goodwill ambassador. You'll get great publicity from it. You can film it. I'm going to teach people to throw frisbee and make friends in Russia. Well, you know, that really didn't cost much. Airfare, round trip, hotel, and setting up a camera crew. So they said yes. He ended up going to Russia 5 or 6 or 7 times, leading goodwill tours there. He married a Russian wife. He learned the language. And so Kenny couldn't find work that suited him, so he made up his own.
One of the things that I love about this story that stood out for me personally is the fact the company, the Frisbee company, said yes, it wasn't that much money. So first of all, it's the chutzpah that he had to somehow find the top marketing person who could make a decision in his favor. And second of all, that the company would say, oh, that doesn't put us out that much. We could certainly do that for this guy. If it doesn't work, we don't lose anything. If it works, it's a huge win for everyone. And how many of us sit back and think that something like that, that seems major for us in our lives to do, actually costs the company very little to support and sponsor us in. That's a really big point.
Now, to have a good idea, you need to have a lot of ideas, because one good idea comes out of 100 or 1,000 ideas. So that's the key. Many writers, you know, they go out with a half-baked idea, and you want an idea that you test out a little bit with friends, and people go, wow, that's a good idea. If I describe Kenny's idea to somebody, they might go, wow, that's a good idea. So that's the kind of idea you go out with, and then you execute it. Of course, it's in the details. That's the clue.
Well, you must have had a lot of ideas yourself, Dan, because I was amazed to read your succession of careers. You almost joined the Navy. You'd been a typist. Talk about the many careers you've had, and how did you end up here?
You know, I sometimes give my friends orthopedic advice because I've had so many examples of things I've had to deal with. So I've become an expert, so to speak. And the same thing in the area of work and career. As a young man, I majored in psychology. For lack of anything better to do, I just didn't know. I had a good course, so I ended up being a psych major. It was all about experimenting on rats way back in the 60s. So I didn't really continue in that area. And when I graduated, I hadn't a clue what I wanted to do. But through some synchronicity, I had prepared myself very well in the area of gymnastics. I was a world champion, you know, a national champion. So I visited my old coach looking for a job. As I had a wife and a baby on the way, and I was looking for a job as a recreation director. Didn't know what I wanted to do. And my coach said, hey, I heard the job at Stanford University, the coaching job, just opened up yesterday. Why don't you head down there and talk to the athletic director? I did. At 22 years old, I was the head coach at Stanford University in gymnastics. After 4 years of that, my interest shifted, and I got offered a job as a professor, an assistant professor, in the physical education department at Oberlin College in Ohio. So I went there. I thought I was living a charmed life. These things were like, boom, just appearing. After I left Oberlin to return to California after about almost 4 years there, I got interested in a particular spiritual school in California, so I went back to my home state at the time. Then the bottom fell out. I realized I had no advanced degrees. I was good at typing, so I ended up working as a typist. I tried house painting for a while. I went to court reporter school.
Wow.
I worked at the Y teaching kids gymnastics. I did whatever I could to support my family, and over time, then I ended up working at a bodywork school as an administrator, and then I ended up, they call them the trying 20s, because in your 20s, you try this, then you try that, then you try that. That's that 10 years it takes to become an overnight success.
Mm.
So that was my story, and I eventually found my way. I decided to write a book, and the book actually failed, and I wrote a second book, and it failed too. The second book was called Way of the Peaceful Warrior. As a hardback, it was subtitled The Basically True Story. The bookstores didn't know where to put it,
wow.
So they didn't want to take it. But after 3 years, an old retired publisher got a hold of the book and said, I love this book. I'm going back into publishing. And he started with Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It took him, he said, a year to get the book, main book chains to take one copy in each store. But then the word of mouth started. And that's what did it, word of mouth. That's the magic part. You can't make that happen. Hope that wasn't too much information, but that's a bit of my winding path. There's no trail of breadcrumbs or stardust. People say, how do you become successful as a speaker and author? And you just have to do good work. That's your only responsibility. You know, to be successful at what you do, you have to be good at two things. You have to be good at what you do, and you have to be good at promoting what you do. Because if nobody knows you exist, you can't help them. So most people like being good at what they do, but they don't like promoting what they do. I certainly don't. But it's simply a necessity. It goes with the job. And it's just a matter of letting people know what you do, doing good quality work, and building from there.
Amen. Well, you know, clearly you've had a lot of different life decisions that you've made. So your chapter called Discovering Your Life Path offers a very potent exercise that's called time travel with your subconscious mind. Loved it. Will you share the time travel exercise and when we can use it?
I'd be happy to. Now, your listeners, if they're in a place where they can take notes, they might want to do that, but it's really pretty simple. So it's not that difficult to remember. It's not really an esoteric exercise. But the important thing about this is we have to recognize that our left brain, our left hemisphere of our brain, so to speak, the logical, reasonable, rational part, is not very good at making decisions. All it can do is weigh pros and cons, benefits and liabilities, ups and downs, ins and outs, and pretty soon our mind starts chasing its own tail. In fact, many of us have made a decision that seemed reasonable, but we wake up in the night or the next morning and it has a kind of a bad feeling about it. I would listen to that feeling. We're here to use our whole brain, not just one hemisphere, but both. And the other side of that brain draws on our imagination and our intuition. And it's important to listen to that because the subconscious mind, by definition, is aware of certain variables that the conscious mind is not yet aware of. So we want to trust that. And this exercise in time travel, using our imagination, helps us make a more educated, a fully educated decision. So this is how you actually do it. Let's say you're deciding between A and B. The first thing you have to do is commit. Imagine you've committed to path A. Whatever that choice is, you've got to feel into that. I am going to do A. And once you do that, you can do the rest of the exercise, which I'd be happy to describe after the break.
Are you ready to work with a leader whose clients get results? Debbie Dashinger believes you were born with a unique gift. She leads exceptional teleseminar classes and consults leaders and executives to go beyond obstacles and limits. Clients worldwide receive accelerated results and are catapulted into spectacular successes. For an appointment, go to www.debbiedashinger.com.
Would you like to be a part of creating a sustainable future on planet Earth? The El Lugar Foundation, created by Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer, is a non-for-profit organization providing alternative ways of working with and preserving land for a sustainable future. To donate and learn more, go to crowdrise.com/change the course of our. What kind of Earth would you like to see passed on to the next generation and beyond? crowdrise.com/change the course of our.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
So as I share my deepest emotions, I begin to set myself free. You see, what's been holding me back no longer has a hold on me.
This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream. You can join me after the show at DebbieDashinger.com. It's DaShinger, or on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We were just talking about an exercise that Dan created, and it's really about how it can influence our life decisions. So I'm going to cue Dan here to come back in and talk about time travel with our subconscious mind. How do we do this?
Okay, well, before the break, I talked about, let's say we're choosing between A and B. It could be A, B, C, D, but to keep it simple, to convey the method, choose between A and B, you have to commit to one of those directions. Feel like you've committed. Once you've done that, you ask yourself three questions. Having chosen A, for example, what will I look like? What will I feel like? And what will I be doing 1 hour from now? Having made that decision, and you write it down, it's not really enough to kind of vaguely think about it. Write it down. What will I look like, feel like, and be doing 1 hour from now? Then, having written that down, just a sentence each or so, you then ask, well, having chosen A, what will I look like, feel like, and be doing 1 day from now? Then 1 week from now, you do the same thing. Then 1 month, 1 year, and 10 years. Somebody might say, how can I possibly know what I'll look like, feel like, and be doing in 10 years having made that decision? Doesn't matter. Just see what comes up in your imagination. See what comes up and write it down. Then, once you've done that, you completely switch gears. You say, no, what was I thinking? B is the obvious choice. I'm going to commit to B and feel into that decision. What if you committed to B? Then you do go through the same process 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, and 10 years, answering those three questions. Once you've done that, and that can take all of 10 or 15 minutes, you will have a much broader, rather than tunnel vision, a broader sense, an intuitive sense. What came up for me? What did I write down? What do I really want to do? And some people say, oh, there's a shorter method, just flip a coin, one decision, heads, one's tails, and see which one you want, whether you want to do two out of three or not. And that may be a shorthand. But this is a way to really bring in the imagination, your subconscious mind, and make a more informed decision traveling through time in your imagination.
Have you used this yourself for any important decisions you've had to make, and what's happened?
You know, I learned this about this approach probably 20 years ago. So, yes, I probably used it at times, but I don't really recall what it was about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's really accessible. I like things that people can actually do, that they don't go, I'm not doing it right. There's no wrong way to do this. So I can't give an example of how I used it. Honestly, I can make one up, but I don't want to do that. But it's pretty straightforward, and it can be any, obviously, hopefully people won't use it to pick breakfast cereal at the supermarket, but big decisions that people worry about,
yeah.
Am I going to make a big mistake? many times we try to make decisions too soon. It's like walking down the street in New York City and trying to decide which foot we'll use to step off the curb when we're only halfway down the block. You know, when you get to the corner, you're going to know. It's going to be natural. You step off with one foot or the other. Also, we don't make decisions with our mind. We think we do.
Right.
We think we decide up in our head. We don't decide until we act. That's what makes our decision.
It's interesting. I'm going to segue here because you offer us something that gives us some insight into ourselves. And I love that you have these on your websites. There's a special calculator so we can look up our life path numbers and our life meaning. And I'm just going to give out the URL for listeners. You can go there. It's peacefulwarrior.com/4-purposes. And actually, on your websites, you have two different calculators. I would love to know, what does it help us with? I looked mine up there, 3811, expression, influence, creativity, shocker.
Well, let me say this, Debbie. It's actually easier for someone to remember just going to peacefulwarrior.com, period. And then they'll see a link right on the left that says life purpose. They click on that link, and it'll take them to the life purpose calculator, the best one that works. And
excellent.
It will give them a number. You have the number 3811. That's a four-digit number. Most people will have a three-digit number. And that number won't mean much, but there's some words associated with it. And there is a paragraph, as people will see, that gives just a taste, a flavor, a summary of some essential elements for that life path. Now, this is the most mysterious and provocative material I teach, because I can't rationally explain why working with one's date of birth can give valid, reliable, accurate information about the core issues of our life. But I've been working with it for over 30 years, and the feedback I've gotten is pretty uniformly like, wow, this is really accurate and useful. So let's not worry about whether it's true or what the theory is behind it. It's useful or it's not. And so I would encourage or challenge your listeners to take a look at that. There are other things at the website, too, online courses, my various books, if anybody's curious. But this is something they can do for free, and it's easy and accessible. And it does address this third purpose of life in the four purposes of life, which is finding our life path, those things that drive us, the hurdles we're here to overcome, and so on. And it's all about self-knowledge, which I emphasize in the second purpose, which is, because if we don't have, we don't know ourselves, we make the right decision for the wrong person, the one we thought we were.
So true. So many people also operate from what their family system, society system, whatever their perception is, may desire of them and for them, instead of really searching inside to find out. And many people these days are going through challenges that I know of. And I'm wondering, is there a value? Is there a value when we experience challenges in relationships and health and work and money?
Well, I certainly think there is a value. And anybody who's lived a life can look back and appreciate that value. In fact, sometimes when I'm speaking to audiences at various workshops and so on, I ask people, please raise your hand if you've experienced physical, emotional, or mental pain in your life. All the hands go up.
Right.
And I say, well, you know, we can disagree on some things, but I hope we can agree on this, that wouldn't you say that difficulty, that challenge you went through, because of that, you're a little bit wiser, a little bit stronger, maybe even more compassionate for having gone through that difficulty. And when you've accomplished and worked through one difficulty, it makes a master metaphor where you can actually work through others. You did it before, you can do it again. So that's the gift of adversity. We don't have to look for it. But when it arises, you know, daily life is a form of spiritual weight training. You don't lift any weights, you don't get any stronger. So again, we don't have to look for adversity. But when some challenge arises, as it does, maybe it's money one week, a relationship argument the next week, a health thing the following day. These things come up every now and then. And everyone, it's a time for reflection and asking big questions and checking out, what are my values? What are my interests? What are my talents? because
reflection, time to reflect.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dan about the steps to take somebody to being in the moment and in the flow. And also, what is Dan's big and next dare to dream? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and international bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
Well, if you're tuning in, this is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream. I'm interviewing Dan Millman, who's a former world champion athlete, university coach, martial arts instructor, and college professor. His 17 books now include his latest book, The Four Purposes. And again, his website is peacefulwarrior.com. So as I promised everybody, Dan, I want to talk with you about what steps can somebody take to just fully immerse themselves in this present moment to find the flow or find the zone.
Well, we've all heard it's good to live in the present moment. Unfortunately, often we take that in at a level of a slogan, and we say, yes, the present moment, it's good to live in it. Yes, live in the now. But what does it actually mean? Physicists will tell you there's no such thing as a present moment. If I say the word now, between the time I said the N sound to the OW sound, a million nanoseconds have passed. Where can you grasp the present? What it really means is handling what's in front of us. It's recognizing that what we call the past is a set of memories and impulses in our brain. It's just memory. And what we call the future doesn't exist either. Tomorrow is always tomorrow. It never comes. The future is an idea in our mind, and we project our imagination into what we call that future. But all we really have, the only moment of reality, is right now. So people go, why live in the present? Well, first of all, there's nothing wrong with using the human capacity to remember things or to imagine. Of course, we can plan our day, what's coming up. We just don't want to get too attached to the plans, because plans tend to change. Circumstances change, so we have to stay flexible. But the idea is, if you want to simplify your life, you focus on what's in front of you. It's the only moment of power, of reality. And this moment, and this moment, and this moment, that's our moment of, that's when we bring presence to what we do. That most people, in my experience, live most of the time with their mind flitting from past to future. They're rarely in the present. I see people walking down the street, texting somebody about what they're going to do later, hardly paying attention to where they're walking. So bringing more presence into this moment simplifies our life. We recognize we can only do one thing at a time. Sure, we can multitask, but that just splits attention into different directions. So, and it's not just about living in the present. It's about focusing on what is my purpose in this present moment. It brings all the other purposes and the four purposes of life down to earth, where it's manageable, because we can always handle this moment. Somebody might, if asked, what's my cosmic purpose? I don't know. I really don't know. It's unclear. But we always know our purpose in this moment. You know your purpose right now. I know my purpose right now. We're talking with one another. So we always know this purpose. And the quality of our moments becomes the quality of our lives. And that is the key for us to focus on where am I going? what needs to be done right now. This can simplify our life radically. With all the changing emotions and thoughts, we don't have a spam filter in our head to stop certain thoughts. Sometimes they're positive, sometimes negative, and our emotions are changing like the weather. But with all that, the question always comes back to, what will I do now to describe a functional and fulfilling life?
You know, we started out the show talking about dreams, and I want to take it there again here towards the end. This is Dare to Dream. So what do you, Dan Millman, what do you next dare to dream, your future dreams and goals?
Well, I do. I have been in the dream stage of a new book called The Hidden School, which will be out probably early next year. It's the third and final book in my Peaceful Warrior series, maybe ambitious, I think provocative. And so I'm working hard on it, and the dream became a draft. I mentioned that, my wife's feedback. And the draft was I'm developing it now, and soon it will be ready for even the juicy part of showing it to an agent and urban readers. That's always fun. So that's where I'm headed. I have two more books in me. You know, people go, oh, come on, Dan, you might have more. No, when I'm done with something, I retire from it. And unless something radical comes up, two more books, this one and a memoir down the line. And then I'll just wander around New York City and walk through Washington Park. The musicians and just kind of live day to day, moment to moment.
That sounds beautiful. I'm so curious, what is your life path number and what does it mean?
Well, my life path number, yours, you mentioned 3811, mine is 268. So the 2 means something, the 6 means something, high standards, sometimes perfectionism, and the 8 is a drive to influence other people, a joy in influencing lives. So I ended up as a teacher. That's what I did. 268 is my life path. It's one of 43. There are 43 life paths for people born since the year 1900. And as we mentioned before, listeners can go to peacefulwarrior.com, click on Life Purpose, and put in their date of birth and get a taste of their own life path. It really can be revelatory and very helpful to look up also our parents and our children, to understand them in a different way. So it's a useful tool, as I describe in the third of the 4 purposes.
What drives you to succeed, Dan?
Well, as I said earlier on, my definition of success is moving toward, making progress toward a meaningful goal. And that gives my life meaning. It's nothing particular beyond that in terms of where the drive comes from. I did it when I was doing gymnastics and handstands and cartwheels, and then the arena broadened into everyday life in terms of what I could share with others and how I could live in a way that felt like a meaningful, worthwhile life. We all live that kind of life. We need to remember that wherever we step, the path is going to appear beneath our feet. But it's just in our decisions, moment to moment, that it helps us manage life if it feels overwhelming. What will I do now? What can I do now?
For those who seek to understand their place in the world and they want to focus on a clear look of what they're really here to do, where can they get your book, The 4 Purposes?
It's easily available. It's all over online, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, online booksellers, and many local bookstores certainly can get it if they don't have it on the shelves. But yeah, so it's widely available, and it's 150 pages, an easy read.
Thank you for inspiring us, Dan, on Dare to Dream. And I already pre-invite you to come back when your next books come out and any time in between. It's such a pleasure and an honor to have you here and speak with you. Thank you.
Same here. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And, yeah, we can link up after the next book comes out. Good luck to you, too. You're doing some great work.
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Isn't it time to stop the frustration and excuses and instead create a life that you love? Introducing the magic of creating your dreams. Go to debbiedashinger.com and click on products. In the magic of creating your dreams, Debbie shares effective, easy-to-apply tools to change the course of your life in miraculous ways. With these powerful tools, you can finally achieve your dreams. DebbieDashinger.com, the magic of creating your dreams.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
You are powerful creators who have come here with great reason, and you are so much more than you see here in these physical bodies. And when you allow yourself to relax a little from where you are and turn and go with the flow, you are going to discover in your first day of making a decision about that, the power of this stream.
Welcome back, and I just want to remind you for classes on media mastery, training to become the very best at radio interviews, also creating your book into a guaranteed bestseller, go to debbiedashinger.com as well as mybestsellerbook.com. Share this amazing show today with Dan Millman with your friends. And I end today's show with this quote from Dan Millman. Faith means living with uncertainty, feeling your way through life, letting your heart guide you like a lantern in the dark. Thank you for joining me today on Dare to Dream.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible no more if you only dare. Just believe you can make anything come true. You dare to dream, trust in what you feel, and create something real, changing your destiny. Then nothing's impossible if you dare to dream. Everything must start. That's just the way it's got to be. Things are gonna grow.